morning. I'm so glad it's not short Sunday today, because I'm preaching and you don't want to see my legs. So I promise you, we had short Sunday last Sunday. It was just awesome. It was just a great, great time. But I want to welcome all of our folks that are watching online today or listening to this via podcast. We love our folks that watch us online. Can we give our online folks a hand this morning? We love y'all. And today we're going to continue a new sermon series called At the Movies. And each Sunday we're going to take a current blockbuster and we're going to talk about that blockbuster, but we're going to use it as a parable to preach the good news, the message, the gospel. And so last week we heard a great message where we declared our independence from sin. We talked about Independence Day. Great word, and it was an independence that we declared from sin, and we were giving our allegiance to Jesus. And so today, we're going to talk about how that independence from sin and how a changed heart compels us to find what we are all really looking for, because everyone is searching for something. And today we're going to go with the movie Finding Dory. Anybody of y'all seen Finding Dory? A good movie? Yes? Check out this clip.
Hello? Did you hear that?
What was that? Hear what?
Stan, I heard someone say hello.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish here. Anybody, literally anybody could have just said hello.
Hello?
There.
Where am I looking?
There.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Yeah, well, where are your parents?
My family.
Where did you see them last?
I forgot. I was looking for something and I... Okay, totally get it. Date night.
I suffer from short-term memory loss. It runs in my family. At least I think it does. Where are they?
Dory, there you are!
Guys!
Look out!
Ah!
Oh, look at this.
Our friend got taken into whatever this place is.
It's a fish hospital.
I feel fantastic!
Dude. Name's Hank.
I have to find my family.
That's a hard one, kid.
Well, I guess you're stuck here.
You're not helping, Bill.
Fragile things.
I lost my family.
That is so sad. You weren't...
Not a great swimmer.
Our friend is in there, lost, alone.
Bailey, you've got to use your echolocation.
Ooh, I feel stupid.
Poor baby. Let me get that for you.
Woo! Mom! Dad!
She should just pick two and let's go.
Dad.
What? I'm kidding.
I get the feeling they're shushing us for a reason.
Like something with one big eye, tentacles, and a snappy thing?
Well, that's very specific, but something like that.
Somewhere out there is my family. I can't find them on my own.
Hang on, Dory!
Surf's up, kid!
Incoming!
I don't want to be touched. Sorry.
That's okay. Everybody does it. Nothing to be ashamed of.
I trust Becky.
You trust Becky. Becky's eating a cup.
Just keep swimming. Mom! Dad! Does this mean we have to say goodbye to Dory? I don't know why I thought I could do this.
Dory, you are about to find your parents. And when you do that, you'll be...
home.
Sea lions. They are natural predators. They could pounce at any moment.
Mate, don't you worry. Don't you worry about a thing.
All right, great movie. And, you know, Finding Dory is a sequel to the original movie, Finding Nemo, that came out 13 years ago. Can you believe it's been 13 years? I took my daughter, Isabel, when she was 4 years old to see that movie, and she's 17 now. So it's been a while, but when Finding Nemo came out, it made $936 million at the box office. That's pretty close to $11 million. That's a lot of money. But let me tell you this, in 3 weeks, Finding Dory's been out for a little more than 3 weeks. It's already made almost $500 million. So a lot of people are going to see this movie. And this movie actually focuses on Dory. And Dory is a forgetful blue tang fish, and she lives on the reef with Nemo and Marlin from the very first cartoon. But she suffers from short-term memory loss. She can't remember anything, and she tries and tries to remember her past, and she'll start to get a little glimpse of it, and then she forgets. She can't even remember who her parents are and how she got lost. But she is looking for something, and something is missing in her life. And I want you to know, in reality, we are all searching for something. Everyone in here is searching for something. See, there's this feeling, that there has to be more. There is this longing. There has to be more to life. And we are all looking for something. Bono from the rock band U2 has been searching for 29 years, and he still hasn't found what he's looking for. Some of you got that, and some of you, that just went right over your head. I'll move on. But like Dory, many of us are searching for what's missing. We're trying to find something. And I want to tell you that one of the biggest things that people look for, it's a basic human need, is finding acceptance. It's finding acceptance. We all want to belong somewhere. We all want a place to belong where we feel belonging. We want to find a place like that. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever sought out people or things to make you feel accepted or approved? Anybody? Has anybody ever searched out people or things to make you feel accepted? One person. There's one honest person in this church. All right. But if the answer is no, if you haven't ever searched out for approval or for acceptance from people, you are not human. And as a human, we all have this fear of rejection. Rejection hurts, but it's the fear of rejection that hurts the most. It's this fear of rejection where we're even sometimes afraid to talk to somebody because we're worried that we're going to be rejected. And that rejection, it hurts. And when you feel rejection, what hurts the most is that expectations are broken. Rejection breaks our expectations. And when you get rejected, you start to question things about yourself. You start to question everything about yourself. I guess I'm not good enough. Or if you've ever been turned away for a job, you're like, oh, I must not be valuable enough. Or have you ever asked somebody out on a date? Man, you got to step out there. And then getting rejected. Oh, it hurts. Some of y'all are looking around. But rejection hurts. And it makes us feel unwanted. Makes us feel devalued. And I want to tell you today, if you have ever felt rejection, if you've ever been rejected, you're in good company. Because around 2,000 years ago, there was a perfect man, without spot, without blemish, without sin, and had a life filled with rejection. His name was Jesus, and they rejected him. And so let's be honest here. There are some powerful forces that drive human beings to find acceptance. They're powerful. How many parents in this room have children that are driven to seek acceptance from their friends or at their school? Anybody? Does your kid feel peer pressure to have a certain type of clothing or a certain type of shoes to be accepted by their friends? I want to tell you this, that there are those pressures, and they may feel like they need to ask for these things. But let me tell you this, let's draw the line here. If they ask you for permission to grow a man bun, just tell them no. Don't go any further. Just say no. Go buy them the $300 pair of shoes, but say no to the man bun. I'm sorry. Never say yes to the man bun. I'm sorry if anybody in here has a man bun. I can't see you right now, but just say no. Please just say no. And so I have a quick story. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, my whole world was wrapped up in a pair of 23s. They were Jordans. They were amazing. These shoes, I wanted these shoes so bad. I got a picture of those 23s. Those were 23s. They were awesome. And I was 13 years old, and if I could just get those shoes, I knew that my whole life would be complete. I'm telling you, I knew that if I got those shoes, that I could get a girlfriend. That I'd be cool. I'd fit in if I could just get those shoes. And so I looked to those shoes. Like they were what I needed to be accepted, and I got them. And I didn't get a girlfriend. I didn't get accepted. The shoes didn't do it for me. You could take them off. It's a sad story. It's breaking my heart. Take them down. But I want to tell you that everybody in here has an unspoken list. We all have an unspoken list that says, if I could just have this, I would feel accepted. Now, I don't know what your blank is today. When I was 13 years old, it was a pair of shoes. When I moved on a little bit further, it was a car. My first car was a chick magnet. I had a burnt orange 1978 Toyota Corolla station wagon. Woo! Man, I was cruising that. I was trying to put 15s in the back. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But that car, I was like, oh, I got wheels. But I want to tell you that every single one of us have an unspoken list. There's an unspoken list that if I could just have this, I would feel accepted. And I don't know what your list is today. I don't know what it is. But I want to tell you this, that if you've got to jump through hoops, I want to talk to you for just a minute. If you've got to jump through hoops to make somebody like you, they don't really like you. And I want to tell you something else. If you got to jump through hoops to make them like you, you probably don't like them. That's just the truth. And if they don't accept you for who you really are, if this isn't good enough for you, I'm sorry. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. All right? I'm telling you, y'all, I haven't always thought like this. I'm just now 40 years old, and I'm starting to not care what people think. I don't know if that's scary, because I'm walking out of the house in outfits that I would never walk out of the house in. But I've come to a point where I've realized that Jesus accepts me, and Jesus loves me. And I'd like to say that as soon as kids grow up, that they put all of that foolish need for acceptance behind them, right? We grow out of it, right? Tell me we grow out of it. Some of y'all are saying no. But to be honest, to some extent, we all love acceptance. We all want approval. We want some affirmation. We want to know that we're good enough. We sometimes crave it. And that's why we have families. That's why we have promise groups and rotary clubs and even gangs. Because there's a place where somebody wants to be accepted. So there's even gangs. And people want a place where they belong, where they can rest. And we long for friends, family, connections. We want acceptance. Does anybody in here remember the show Cheers? Some of y'all do? I grew up on that show. The whole show takes place in a bar, so it's a horrible sermon reference. But to this day, I can remember the lyrics to the opening of that song, and I loved it. I loved it. It says, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same, You want to be where everybody knows your name. And I remember listening to that song. I was like, I want to go to that bar. I want people to know my name. Because that's a fear of people that we can go through life and we're not known. And we're not accepted. And so we want to be known. We want to belong. And I want to say this. I love our church's motto. When we put a slide up that says Promised Land, where you belong. And I want to tell you that there's truth in that because you belong here. This is a family. And you can walk into this family. You can walk into these doors and feel loved. And people can really want to know your name. And they're always glad you came. And some of them, the song goes on to say, our problems are the same. We deal with the same stuff. And I love how we are a big family. And this is a place where we can feel accepted. This is a place where we can feel loved. But sometimes our heart is in a place where we're not ready to be accepted, and we kind of think that everybody else is thinking a different way about us, and we don't even accept ourselves, so it's hard to be accepted. But I want to know that God loves you, and this church loves you, and this is a place where you belong today. Amen to that. And so in truth, we may crave acceptance and approval of people, but we need it from God. We may crave it from people, but we need it from God. See, people are going to let you down. The most trustworthy person you know today will eventually let you down. I hate to say it. We want to matter to other people. We want to matter to somebody else, but sometimes we forget how much we matter to God. We forget how much we matter to the King of Kings. And the struggle for acceptance, the day in, day out struggle for acceptance can sometimes be an overriding motivation that will keep us off balance, full of insecurity and instability. And here's why. Because when we are dependent upon people for our acceptance, or we're dependent upon a job, we are only okay when this or that person likes us. Or if we're on the boss's good side, oh, the boss said I'm doing a good job. Ooh, I feel amazing. And then the next day, the boss is like, what are you doing? Oh, the boss doesn't think I'm doing a good job. And if somebody's opinion of you, let me just say this, if somebody's opinion of you can make or break you, you're looking to the wrong place. And that's hard to say. That's a rough saying. But the truth is, if somebody's opinion of you can make or break you, you're putting your trust in the wrong place. We have to have this car or that house. Well, this car signifies that I've made it, that all my hard work, that I'm accepted, I finally made it, or I got the house. And the sad fact is that everything you need is not going to be found in your spouse. It's not going to be found in a job. It's not going to be found in a car. It's not going to be found in a person. And when we put that expectation on a person to fulfill needs in our life that only God can do, we are setting that poor person up for failure. We are setting them up so high that they'll never be able to satisfy your needs. And sadly, people will let you down. People are going to die. That happens all the time. And people make bad choices. Sometimes we'll depend on somebody and they'll make a selfish decision. And then what happens? What happens when our job fails us, when people fail us, when everything fails us, and eventually it will? And it sounds like I'm saying, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. I'm not saying that. But these things will fail us. People will fail us. And what do we have? What will we have? God is the only one. God is the only one who will fulfill our deepest needs. Let me say that again. God is the only one who will fulfill your deepest needs. Can you hear that? I want you to know that God is the only one that will fulfill your needs. Not the next relationship, and the next relationship, and the next relationship. What you're looking for is God. It's God. And we can lose sight of that. We can lose sight of that, and we can lose sight of the approval and the favor and the acceptance that we already have in Jesus. And I want to tell you that the good news, this is good news, this is the gospel. The gospel is this, is that what we are looking for is already offered to us in the love of Jesus. And so this is a love that reaches down into your mess. Anybody a mess in here today? Is there any messes in the house of the Lord today? There's messes. I'm a mess. He reaches into my mess. However jacked up you are, where you might be finding your acceptance all over the place, but Jesus wants to reach into your life and take your mess. And take your mess. And it's a love that reaches down and touches us. And it heals us. And it forgives us. And it makes us whole. It's a love that draws us to himself. And it's a beautiful thing. He draws us to himself. In the movie, there's this great scene. It's a very touching scene. But in the movie, Dory's looking for her parents, and her parents are looking for Dory. And all the while, for years that Dory was missing, her parents, from the place she was lost, were putting little seashells one by one out in long paths in every direction. Every direction. It was beautiful because they would hope that when she found one of those seashells, it would lead Dory back to her family. And I want you to know that's what the love of God does for us. God is like saying, hey, I've got love for you. I've got acceptance for you. I've got everything you need. I know you're looking to that house. I know you're looking to that job or that career, but here I am. I love you. My love is calling out to you. My love wants you. My love accepts you. Everything else is going to let you down, but I'm still going to be here. So everything we're looking for is in Jesus. And it's only when we only find acceptance in a relationship with him. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I know we talked about being a mess, but I want to say something about you. Jesus thinks you're wonderful. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He thinks you're valuable. He desires to be with you. If you don't believe me, listen to this. In Psalms 139 and 13, it says, "For you were formed," and this is talking about us. "For you were formed, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." That sounds like care. That sounds like love. If God would knit you together in your mother's womb. And he says, "I praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Can you say that with me? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to tell you something today that God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make junk. You're not junk. You're valuable, and God loves you. You know how much he loves you? He stretched his arm all the way out and took the cross for you. That's how much he loves you. And he done it for every single one of us. Every single one of us. Now listen to this. In Matthew 6 and 26, it says, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are?" The beauty of God's love is saying, hey, you, come here, come back to me, come follow me. I can complete you. So we can stop looking everywhere else. We can stop chasing acceptance in all of the areas of life, hoping that it will satisfy us and make you happy. Because if you're looking for acceptance today, you're only going to find that in Jesus. And so the next, another deep human need is finding security. Finding security. Let me ask you this. What in your life makes you feel secure? What in your life makes you feel secure? Is it what you do for a living? Is it your title? Is it your bank account? Let me ask this. Is there any Dave Ramsey disciples out here? Is it your emergency fund that makes you feel secure? Some of y'all have a clue of what I'm saying, and some of you don't. But is it your family or your family name? Or is it your spouse, or is it a relationship? None of these things are permanent. Not a single one of those things are permanent. They're only going to fulfill us for a very short time. And soon, it will lead us to continue to search for something else. And I want to say this. If you've been watching the news at all this week, there's some terrible things that have been happening. And there are many people who are scared. There are many people who feel like things are going completely out of control. They're out of their comfort zone. They're looking at Facebook. They're seeing just these horrendous things that are happening all over our country. And there's this feeling of fear. There's this feeling of fear. And I want to say this, that most people only feel secure when they are in control. Anybody like feeling in control? Anybody want to be in control? No? But really, the desire or the need for control is really an attempt to find security. Let me ask you this. Does anyone in here know a control freak? Are you sitting next to one right now? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. All right, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a car with somebody who won't let you drive because they are a control freak? Okay, are you someone that won't let anybody else drive because you're a control freak? All right, my daughter is 17 years old, just got her license less than a year ago, and she's already telling me how to drive. We're going down the road. Dad, that's a stop sign. I know what a stop sign looks like. Dad, that's a red light. I know what a red light looks like. I'm in control. I'm driving. I've been driving longer than you've been alive, kid. It's so weird to be able to say that now. But we attempt to find security by being in control. We want everything to be in its place. We want everything nice and tidy. We don't want loose ends that makes us feel uncomfortable. We want everything to be in perfect control because that's where we find peace. And sometimes we build our lives and we depend on things that make us feel secure. And the problem with this is that we have very, very little control. It would actually blow your mind if you realize how little control you have of your life. I want to just give you an example. We just took our dog right outside our front door. And all of a sudden, the neighbor's dog thought it would be a good idea to run across the road and attack and maul our dog in a split second. And two trips to the vet and $400 later, we just didn't have any control of that situation. And it blows our minds that we have little control. You can't control the price of gas. What makes you think that we can control our lives? We can't control the weather. We don't know if it's going to be sunny or if we're going to have a monsoon. We can't control our future. And so whenever we face out-of-control situations, people tend to do two things. One is they try harder and harder and harder to control it. And the other is some people just give up. Some people say, I just can't handle it. I just give up. And the reality is neither of these actions are the best action. And so the problem is when we try to be in control and feel secure, we look to our own strength, our own knowledge, our own power, our own effort, and we try to fix it. Okay, this bill came along. I'm just going to go get another job. I'm going to have five jobs. That's our answer. We're going to try to control it and control it. And so I'll work eight jobs and I'll never see my family. And so we try desperately sometimes to try to fix things. And what we are saying by doing that is it's all up to me. I have the power to fix everything if I just try hard enough. And really what that says is that we are trying to be God. We're trying to be God, and we are trying to control things that only He can control. And it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating when you can't control your husband, or you can't control your wife, or you can't control your kids, or you can't control your job or your future or your past or any of that stuff. And what frustrates you the most is if people would just listen to what I say, if everybody would just listen to me, we could get this in control. If you would just listen and do what I say. But we're frustrated because guess who we can control? Maybe ourselves. But we can't control other people. In fact, there's this great video. We can't even control who our favorite basketball player chooses to go and play for. I don't know if y'all have heard of Kevin Durant. You know, he used to play for Texas. He played for the Thunder, and now he's leaving. And it's breaking people's hearts. They're burning their jerseys. They're putting all of their hope in a player.
He's going to play with Golden State. Do you like Golden State?
No.
No. You hate Golden State?
Yes.
Yes, me
too. I hate him. I'd punch him in the face.
Don't you feel like doing that every once in a while? Just punching somebody in the face? Because we can't control very much. And we desperately try to remain in control. And the more we try to be God, the more we realize it just doesn't work. It really doesn't work. Not only are we going to lose that battle, but we're just going to get really tired and really out. Battle after battle. And there was so much trouble in his life. Not all of it was because of just trouble. Some of it was brought on by himself. But I love this scripture in Psalm 62:1. David says this, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken." You see, David found security in God. And the good news is that real security comes from God and God alone. You're not gonna find it in a job. You're not gonna find it getting rich, because you're always gonna need that next dollar. You will never have enough. You won't find it in anything other than God. And sometimes we get it so backwards. Sometimes we get it so backwards. We're saying, we ask God to help us chase after these temporary things, these circumstantial things that we feel that we need to be satisfied. Instead of chasing after those things, why don't we chase after God, who satisfies us, who accepts us, who gives us security? You know, the beautiful thing about God being in control is that we don't have to be. That we can trust the King of Kings with every need that we have. That we can walk around in freedom and we can cast every care that we have on Him. We don't have to carry it all ourselves. It's not up to us to handle every situation. We serve a God that is bigger than us. Bigger than us. Would you stand with me today? Beautiful scripture in Psalms 46 and 10, it says, be still. Just be still and know that I am God. Be still and know I am God. We have a choice to make every single day. Whether or not we are going to decide to be God in our life, or if we're going to let God be God in our life. I want to tell you this, I stink at being God. And you probably do too. I want to say that most of our prayers are us just saying, God, I'm giving up control because only you can control the things that are out of control in my life. I want to tell you today that you can rest in God, that you're going to find true security in him, that you're going to find acceptance in him, that the things that you are searching for, you don't have to search anymore. God has it for you today. Let's pray. God, we come to you today, and we look to you. We've looked to all kinds of other things, God, and they have let us down. We've searched after the wind. We've grasped after it, and we continually miss it. But God, you are there, and you are real, and you are calling us home today. You are calling us to you. And God, you formed us in our mother's womb. You made us wonderfully and fearfully. And you love us and you complete us. And you are all that we need to be accepted. Your love is better than anything else. God, we desire you today. We put our hearts back on you. We look to you again today, God. You are our security. You are our rock. You are our fortress. You are our strong tower. And we give you everything today. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we give God a hand this morning? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? We want you to know at the end of every service that we offer baptism. And I will say this, that we will be baptizing folks in the river. So if you want to wait to be baptized, August 14th at the river will be an awesome time to do that. But if you have to get baptized today, we got pastors, we got water, we got the name of Jesus, we got everything you need. We also have people down here that would love to pray with you and would love to pray with you and help you in anything that you need prayer for today. But if you need to go, go in the name of Jesus, go in the authority of God, go in the security of God, and know that you are accepted in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.